I invite you to turn with me in your pew Bibles to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. This is the Word of God. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there's forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. One of the authors that I enjoy reading is someone by the name of Marva Dawn. She has written quite extensively on Christian worship, and in one of her books called Reaching Out Without Dumbing Down, she makes a plea to the church not to dumb down worship for the sake of our individualistic, consumer-driven culture, a culture that tends to view worship as something that gives them what they want, gives them what they need. Dawn urges the church not to dumb down worship. In a keynote address that she gave, which I listened to and was present for a number of years ago when she came to Hamilton, she at that time had shared with us how she tires of worship that, as she says, is the kind of happy, clappy, let's all just praise Jesus kind of worship. And this was shortly after 9/11. She said, in those churches where the diet of worship is predominantly happy, clappy, let's just praise the Lord, after 9/11 they found that that worship diet was very unbalanced. Churches that focused exclusively on praise and worship missed opportunities to sing lament and to cry to God out of the depths. We mustn't dumb down worship, Marva Dawn writes. Rather, biblical worship is worship that captures the range of human emotions and experiences. And Psalm 130 is one of those psalms that the church must regularly sing. Psalm 130 is a song that comes out of the pits, out of the depths of human experiences. And as the Israelites pilgrim to Jerusalem for one of the three annual feasts, we will remember that they knew this journey was more than just a journey to get to the temple. This was a journey that in so many ways symbolized the journey of life. This journey was like a living metaphor for them. And as they journeyed to Jerusalem, they sang songs and prayed prayers that captured the whole range of human emotion and experience. Psalm 130 is one of the songs they sang, calling to God out of the depths, calling to God out of that place where you feel like waters are swirling around you in a chaotic stream. In fact, that word, out of the depths, literally pictures for us being amidst swirling, chaotic waters. The depths is that place where you experience despair, where you sense hopelessness, where you feel depression, anxiety, deep grief, where you worry about the future and find yourselves in seasons of deep doubt. Lillian Grissen, some of you may remember that name, used to be an associate editor of the Banner, actually born on the same day as my mother, April 23rd, 1922, died just a year ago tomorrow. She wrote a powerful book called A Path Through the Sea. I can't help but wonder if she picked on that word depths in our text. For people who have gone through a season of depression and despair, it does feel like you're being swallowed up in chaotic waters. Lillian Grissen writes of her journey from depression to wholeness and describes it as a path through the sea. In the Bible, the sea often represents that place of chaos, the place of evil, the place of insecurity and uncertainty, of disorder. And isn't it true that God often allows his people to experience seasons where they go through the sea? Many of us are familiar with the depths. Maybe some of us here this morning are experiencing the depths even now, experiencing that place where we feel like the bottom has fallen out of our life. What do you do when you're in the depths? I think one of the first things that the psalmist invites us to do is give ourselves and God's people permission to express their despair, to cry out to God. Sometimes we're uncomfortable expressing the kind of depression or anxiety that we experience. Sometimes we feel like the community we're part of, the culture that we're part of, doesn't give us the kind of permission that we need to voice with others the despair and depression that we experience. There's a saying that I remember hearing often in my home or in extended family circles that the Dutch have, especially when you're going through a time of hardship or challenge. The Dutch might say something like, "Kop op," literally, lift up your head, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, don't languish in despair, move on, kop op. And I wonder if that has sometimes contributed to people feeling the inability to express what's going on deep in their spirits. The psalmist invites us to call out to God out of the depths. Why? Because it's okay to be there. In fact, if you go through the scriptures, you find that people who are in the depths are in good company, the company of saints, the company of people like Job, people like Jonah, David, Moses. Even our Lord Jesus Christ experienced the depths and cried out to God, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When you're in the depths, people of God, you're in good company. There are two things that we can draw, I think, from the opening verses of this psalm. And the first, and perhaps most importantly, is that God can and will meet us in the depths. When the bottom has fallen out of our life, God hasn't fallen out with it. A well-known psalm that pictures for us the nearness and the presence of God even in times when life feels deeply dark and full of despair is Psalm 139, where we read, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there." Oops. Well, I guess I didn't put that in there. Sorry. I'm sorry. If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Even the darkness cannot hide us from God, for the darkness is as light to him. If we feel as though we're in the pits of despair right now, feeling like there's this impenetrable wall between us and God, and our prayers are bouncing off a bronze ceiling or glass ceiling, we must know that God hears us as we call out to him. For those of us who have a hard time relating to being in the depths, we must hear the voices of people in the scriptures. We must hear the voices of people in our own community who face suffering and hardship, and know that according to the Bible and according to human experience, what Eugene Peterson says is absolutely true. To be human is to experience trouble. In this sense, Psalm 130 prepares us for the inevitable. It prepares us for those seasons in our life when we will be in the depths. Secondly, these opening verses tell us that we must speak out of our depth experiences. The text doesn't condemn people who are in the depths. It doesn't judge them. It doesn't ignore them. On the contrary, it gives people who suffer dignity. It gives them a voice. People who have lived through depression, like Lillian Grissom, and I commend her book wholeheartedly. People who live through depression know what it feels like to be in the depths and know how powerful it is when they can share with their voice, naming what they feel in the presence of God and of his community. Sometimes we're led to believe that depression is for weak people. It's for people who don't have a strong enough faith. It's for people who aren't committed enough to Jesus Christ and believe in his power. Well, the testimony of Scripture and so many in it is that that is a complete lie. Depression is not for weak people. Depression is an experience that many have. Depression is an experience that many have because in so many ways, life can be depressing. In so many ways, we can experience things that drag us down. The loss of loved ones, the loss of a job, broken relationships in our families or with our extended family, feeling overwhelmed by the demands of life, living in a culture that holds out empty promises, and sometimes finding that we've been believing those promises and they have nothing for us. Despair, the pits, the depths are the experience of many. And we as a church, we as the family of God, ought to be the place where people can cry out of the depths to the Lord, where we can come alongside and listen. I know that for many of us, when we sit down with people who describe for us this depths experience that they're going through, whatever that might be, I know for many of us that can be an uncomfortable thing. If you're like me, you may feel compelled to offer advice or to try and fix them. And yet so many will testify that what they're really looking for is just someone who will listen. Not someone who will fix their burden, take away their problem, but someone who will listen, who, as it were, will give them an embrace. The psalm gives voice to those who suffer, gives dignity to people who are in the depths. The Lord undoubtedly hears their cry, and so we must be the kind of community where God's people are allowed to call out to him and experience the embrace of the Lord. Why is that? Well, that's what the next part of the psalm opens up for us. We must be that kind of community because we're a community that serves that kind of God. God is a God of mercy and forgiveness. God is a God who doesn't keep record of our sin. God is the one who does not treat us as our sins deserve. If God did that, we wouldn't have a leg to stand on. So often, the despair, the anxiety that people experience in some way is connected to the sin of the world, to the fact that this world is not the way it's supposed to be. And we carry that in our spirits and in our emotions. We do not serve a God who simply says to us, "Cop up, pick yourself up by your bootstraps and forge ahead." We serve a God who's rich in mercy. He never says to us, "Well, you made your own bed, sleep in it." Rather, God doesn't hold our sins or the sins of the world against us. He is rich in mercy. That's why we can be genuinely assured that God will hear us. He doesn't come to us first with a word of judgment and rebuke. Rather, he comes to us as he did to Moses and to the Israelites when they had rebelled against God and committed gross idolatry by constructing a golden calf. As Moses met with the Lord on the mountaintop, God revealed himself to Moses and said, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin." With God, there is always new beginning. That's why we must be the kind of community where people can speak openly and honestly about those depth experiences that they face. Christ himself was found in the depths. He came alongside the weak, the vulnerable, the marginalized, the lost. Jesus was a friend of sinners. And we must be the kind of people, his body, that bring the presence of God, the mercy, the tenderness of God into the lives of others. The Lord meets us in the depths. The Lord is full of mercy and forgiveness. And for this reason, the psalm says we have hope. The psalmist says that we have hope because the image that is given in the text of why we have hope is this image of a watchman waiting for the morning. This image of a watchman is somewhat foreign to us in our culture, of course. But in the ancient world, posted on the walls of a city throughout the night and even through the day were people designated as watchmen. Watchmen that stood guard to protect the inhabitants of the city from intruders or invaders. And much of the work that watchmen did was in the darkness. The psalmist alludes to the watchmen who wait for the morning. The work of watchmen was often done in the dark, in the shadows, in that time of the day when we're most vulnerable, when we feel isolated, when we feel alone. The depths are like that darkness. And God doesn't promise us instant relief from the darkness. He says, like a watchman that waits for the morning, we too are able by God's grace to endure for however long seasons of waiting, because we know the hope of the Lord is coming. I'm not much of a morning person, but I remember when I used to go to my in-laws' cottage in central Ontario, as we did each summer with our family, I remember often taking at least one morning to get up very early before anyone else, take a coffee with me to the dock, and sit there just as the morning was beginning to break through. There's one thing that watchmen know, and that every single one of us know from a young child on. We know it because we've seen it happen in the past, and that is that the morning will come. No matter how dark the night, the morning comes. And I so enjoyed, on the edge of that dock, watching the morning come. Watching the sun begin to rise, watching the heat of the sun begin to break away, the fog that was hanging over the lake, beginning to hear the birds sing as they awakened to a new day. The watchman knows that morning always comes. And for that reason, we have hope. The kind of hope, of course, that the psalmist is speaking about is not just a hope that the sun will continue to shine each day and that the planet will rotate properly around in its orbit. The hope that the psalmist is holding out for God's people is much more than simply the fact that every 24 hours a new day breaks forth. You might be here this morning and say, Andrew, that kind of hope is a wonderful picture. But what does it really do to get me out of the depths? I don't want simple metaphors and pictures to cure me of my despair. I need something substantive. And this morning, the Word of God declares to us that we must put our hope in the Lord like a watchman that waits for the morning, because we know that a new day has dawned. 2,000 years ago, when the whole of what is wicked and sinful in our world put to death our Lord Jesus Christ and laid him in a tomb, a morning broke forth. And on that day, when the women went to the tomb and the stone was rolled away, they saw that life had conquered death. God had defeated sin. God had defeated depression, despair, anxiety, all those things that hold God's people in the depths. A new morning dawned. And in the same way that a watchman knows the morning has come because it came yesterday, so too, we as God's people know a new day is coming. A day when the bright morning star, who is Jesus Christ, will shine brightly and into eternity. A day in which God will make everything new. A day in which tears will be wiped away. A day in which the enemies of God's people will be ultimately and completely defeated. On that day when the morning appears, God's people will be released from all that is sinful and wicked. And you know what? In between those two mornings, the morning of Christ's first resurrection and the morning of his consummation, in between those two mornings, you and I catch glimpses of that morning again and again and again. We see it in church communities that offer hope for refugees and bring them to a place where they can make a new beginning and find themselves embraced by the love of Christ. We hear it in the story even of the Shabbat family and the possibility now of their extended family coming to settle here with them and be reunited. We see hope that morning, we see rays of that morning when we listen to the stories of people who have been set free by God from addiction, when we see God bring back together relationships that were broken. We see rays of that new morning shine into the lives of God's people and our world. Whenever we see justice, whenever we see hope being held out, whenever we see communities that experience better infrastructure or education, whenever God's people live in the light of that first morning and shine that light in their ordinary lives, we catch glimpses of the hope that we know one day will come fully and completely, when Jesus, the bright morning star, appears. For those who are experiencing the depths, maybe even this morning, you must know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this season will come to an end. I don't know when. I don't know if it will be a season for you that may last days or weeks or months, but I do know that God is a God who hears us when we cry out of the depths. He's a God who has secured hope for us in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, a hope that is very real and that one day will be completely fulfilled when he returns. And in the meantime, as we together as God's people bring a listening ear, a warm embrace, a word of encouragement, we experience rays of that new day penetrating our hearts and giving us profound and abiding hope. The psalmist ends with these words, "Put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love and full redemption. He himself has redeemed New West Church and his people from all their sin." And all God's people say, Amen.